Welcome to the Chalk Talk Gym podcast, where we explore insights into healthcare that help uncover new opportunities for growth and success. I'm your host, Jim Jordan. Today's guest is Lee Brandon. He's a highly accomplished practitioner of functional medicine. And for those of you that don't know what functional medicine is, it's an approach that focuses on identifying and addressing the root causes of chronic conditions rather than just treating symptoms. He has a DSA in management studies from the University of Greenwich, as well as being a clinical nutritionalist and a certified massage therapist. Lee brings us today a unique and well-rounded perspective of his work. Now, his personal journey is a testament to the power of his approach. For 18 years, he struggled with severe acne that persisted despite trying every conventional treatment available. It wasn't until he began exploring these underlying triggers of acne through diet and lifestyle modification that he finally found the key to healing his skin from the inside out. Now, what struck me during this conversation is the skin is the body's largest organ, and it's actually the only one we can see from the outside other than the eyes. The skin is a remarkable indicator of overall health. Changes in skin can often be the first visible signs of underlying health issues. And by paying attention to the skin and addressing its problems at the root cause, we can not only achieve clearer skin, but also promote overall health. Driven by his own transformation, Lee has now made his mission to help others struggling with acne to reclaim their clear, healthy skin through his coaching practice and a new book, Eliminating Adult Acne for Good. In our discussion, he shares his hard-won insights on the complex factors that can fuel acne. He talks about the limitations of standard treatments and the transformation potential of a holistic functional medicine approach. Now, whether you're dealing with acne or other skin issues yourself, or just curious about the power of getting to the root cause of stubborn health challenges, you won't want to miss this episode. So, Lee, tell me and the audience a little bit more about your journey and what motivated you to pursue this path.
When I was 13 years old, I started getting acne, like a lot of teenagers do, and it got worse, and it got pretty bad. After a few months, my mother took me to my doctor, to my general practitioner, and he said, look, no, I know what to do. I'm going to give you this cream, acne, I'm going to give you a cleanser. It's going to solve all your problems. So I'm like, awesome, great. Finally get rid of this horrible acne on my face. So the cream he gave me, basically, it didn't really help. And in fact, my acne got worse. And not only also had quite bad side effects from the cream and the cleanser. So my skin went really dry. It would go from being extremely dry to extremely, sometimes I'd have grease dripping off my forehead, for instance. That continued for a while. And then my mother said, I've got to take you back to the doctor because it's just getting worse. So I went back to the doctor, looked at me and he said, oh yeah, it's not clearing up, is it? What I'll do now, I'll clear it up. And I was like, great, problem solved. And then about 6 weeks later, it came back and it came back with a vengeance. And for the next 18 years, every time I went back to look, it's not working. His only solution was, well, here's another antibiotic. And that 18 years, what that does to you when you take antibiotics for that long. But in terms of this, I don't know if the numbers have got worse in recent years. I guess they probably have. But mine was so bad. My nickname was Zit. You know what it's like at school. Everyone gets the cruel nickname, you know, it happens. But that shows you how bad mine was because that was my nickname. So the effect that it had on me, it was very devastating to my self-esteem, my confidence. And you go through your teenage years and you think, well, this is a teenage problem. So once I get to 19, 20, it's all going to go away and life's going to be great, right? So I got to 19, 20, the acne wasn't going away. And in fact, it was getting worse. So, you know, you're starting work, you're starting, in my case, chasing girls and, you know, going on the dating scene and all that. And, you know, going for job interviews. You know, you've got a job interview coming up, maybe for a job promotion, and you know, you really want this job, it's extra money, and you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, my face is covered in acne, right? Anyone who's had acne, if they will be able to tell you, if they've had anything coming up, like a big event, a job interview, or, you know, a date or whatever, on that day, the skin will break out.
Right? Wedding.
And again,
a wedding.
Yeah,
it's notorious
absolutely.
For the wedding. How did that influence your educational background, just sharing with our audience that aspect of your history?
I mean, during those years, it didn't affect it at all, to be honest. I mean, I was academically reasonably good. You know, I was in top 3% of every aspect. I was very sporty, which probably saved me mentally, actually. The fact that I was good academically, I was good at sport. If I hadn't have been good and I had the acne as well, I imagine that would have been a complete disaster. But it possibly influenced my educational background as an adult, which again, we can come on to. But what I was finding was when I went for job interviews, face full of acne, and I knew I was the best person for the job. And then they were giving it to people that were far less qualified than me, far less experienced than me. And I can't help but think that it was because of the way I looked. You know, I might have been 25, 26, 27, and they're looking at this person. I mean, I already look young. I still look young now. I mean, I'm 55, which surprises a lot of people. But I looked, imagine how young I looked when I was 25. And they're probably looking at me, seeing this spotty looking kid in front of them, applying for a high position. And even subconsciously, I think they're probably thinking, well, this kid's a teenager. How can he possibly do this job? You know? So it cost me a lot of money, I believe. It cost me relationships. So again, when I was in my 20s, whenever my face would be really bad, if I was in a relationship, it would end. And I have to say, I can't blame those women for ending a relationship because I don't find it attractive. So why should I expect someone else to find that attractive? And when you look at it from a evolutionary perspective, you're not going to be attracted to someone who looks like they're diseased, right? Because you want to have healthy children. So my relationships were affected. My social life was affected because sometimes, you know, and I loved going out with my friends, the pubs and clubs in my 20s, you know, my friends would be going for a night out and my face would be so bad. I would just be like, sorry, guys, I can't come out tonight. And I would sit at home and just feel depressed, you know, whilst I knew my friends were out having a great time. So it had a real detrimental effect on my mental health and my quality of life.
Now, you mentioned that it influenced your educational pathway. You want to share that a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so it's quite a long story, but I'll keep that relatively short as I can. So at the age of 27, I became a personal trainer. So again, I've still got acne. So can you imagine you're turning up, you're trying to teach people how to be healthy and you've got a face full of acne. It doesn't make you feel full of confidence to start, but also makes you feel like a fraud because you're teaching other people how to get healthy, but yet you're not that vision of health. Now, it was when I was 31, and this is where my journey started of healing my acne. I was at a conference in Loughborough University in England, and there was an American guy called Paul Check from the Check Institute, and he was doing a lecture, and it was called Flatten Your Abs Forever. So, you know, we go in this room and we think we're going to be learning how to do crunches or these, you know, ab exercises, but it's a lecture hall. And you think, what's going on here? So anyway, so the guy starts talking, and I'd known about this guy for several years, but he starts talking and there was a few things that really grabbed my attention. So he said, what you eat affects your hormones. Your hormones affect your skin and can cause issues like acne. And then he said, food sensitivities can also cause acne. Now, I'd been asking my medical doctor for 18 years whether diet had anything to do with acne. And he assured me every single time that it had absolutely nothing to do with acne. And there's this guy who, you know, I'd read a lot of his articles over the years. And he seemed to know what he was talking about. So anyway, after this conference, I went back home, went to see a local guy. He tested me and he found out I actually had a candida overgrowth, which is a fungal infection. And I had several food intolerances. So he said to me, okay, the first thing I'm going to suggest you do is to stop taking those antibiotics because A, they're not working and B, they're causing you damage. And they probably caused your fungal infection.
I absolutely did. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, here's a list of foods you're sensitive to. So I'm going to put you on an antifungal diet. And you also need to go on an elimination diet to cut out the foods that you're sensitive to. So I went home and being the kind of person I am, I emptied my cupboards, threw everything away, restocked, and I followed his program to the letter. And within 2 weeks, my skin was clear.
Now, what food for you was the culprit?
So I've done so many tests since then, but definitely gluten and wheat, dairy. There was chili peppers, there was bell peppers, there was black pepper, there was garden peas. They're the ones I can remember off the top of my head. There were some others. But I went from having more than one breakout a week to maybe having about four a year after that two-week period. So I wasn't completely acne-free, but you wouldn't have said, oh, that's Lee, that's the guy with acne, because I would only break out a few times a year. And then over the next 10 years, the number of times a year I would break out got less and less and less to the point where I just didn't really break out at all. But that initial change of diet was life-changing for me. And there is a lot more to acne than just diet. But for some people, literally just changing diet can be enough to get rid of their acne.
So today, what do you do? You wrote a book. Tell us about the book. And then what does your organization do? What do you do to help people in this area?
Yeah, so I practice functional medicine. I mean, I've studied lots of other things. I've studied nutrition. I've studied holistic dermatology. That's what I did during lockdown. So I made sure I was busy. I've studied many other things to do with exercise and manual therapies, like massage therapies, etc. But I mainly work with people that are either in chronic pain, have a skin issue or a gut issue. Now, it's quite interesting because there's quite a link between gut issues and skin issues as well. But what I do is I help people overcome a health challenge by getting to the root cause of the problem. And because of my own history with acne, I really love helping people overcome their acne issues. Because a lot of people think that there either isn't a solution to acne, that they've just got to live with it, or their only solution is a pharmaceutical solution or a topical solution. But what I've found over the years is that the topical solutions and the pharmaceutical solutions, they only aim to treat the symptom. They don't get to the root cause. And the thing that's an important message for me to get across to people is the same things that we know cause acne also cause much more serious illnesses. So whether it's obesity, diabetes, dementia, heart disease, cancer, they're the same things. So what I try and explain to people is acne is almost like your canary in the coal mine. It's your engine warning light on your car dashboard telling you that there's something wrong on the inside. Now, if you treat acne with topicals and pharmaceuticals, what you're in essence doing is you're taking a piece of black tape and covering over the engine warning light on your dashboard. You're not fixing the problem. You're just kicking the can down the road. And kicking the can down the road generally means that you're going to have a much more serious problem later on. So the book that I wrote to help people with acne, it's called Eliminating Adult Acne for Good. And it's basically a self-help book that people can use and go through the book step by step, almost exactly the same sequence as I would take a client one-to-one through overcoming acne. So I wrote the book because, and there's a lot of people out there that can't afford a coach. So I thought, how can I help those people who can't afford a coach? Because I've had so many people contact me, and when I speak to them, you know, they might be a janitor or a cleaner or a bellboy at a hotel. They just can't afford a coach. So I thought, how can I help those people and keep the cost down? As I was writing the book, I was thinking, right, okay, if I was with a client now, what would I be telling them to do first? What would be the next thing, right? When they've done that, what will be the next thing? It's like I'm holding their hand through the process of overcoming acne. And the way I do that is by getting them healthy. So Hippocrates stated thousands of years ago that you should not treat the disease a person has, but to treat the person that has the disease. And I have a saying, and the saying is that health and disease cannot live in the same body. So if you get yourself healthy, you won't have any symptoms. And acne is a symptom of an internal problem. So
I think it's interesting that, so I'm dealing with some researchers on a project between Carnegie Mellon University of Pittsburgh, and it's the recognition that our body is really one system. We look at organs, we look at cells, but the reality is, you know, our body is always moving and adapting, and how do we understand that, and how do we make sure that when we're treating the acute issue that we're not impacting other issues, right? And an extreme, obviously, is, you know, we use radiation and chemotherapy for cancer, but we're also, you know, killing healthy cells and doing some other things. Now, obviously, from a pragmatic perspective, given the acute nature, that makes sense. But the other aspect when you talk about functional medicine is there's, when you look at Crohn's disease and irritable bowel syndrome or some of these other things, there's a big connection between brain and gut. A disconnect that goes on and the impact of food and influencing that. So we actually are learning that even some of our mental states and our moods are coming from the foods and things that we eat. So you get the book out. Tell us some stories of people come back and shared with you their experience from your book.
Well, the book has not been out very long. So I haven't had any people come back to me with the book. It's only been out literally a couple of months. But I can tell you a few stories of people that I worked with that are quite interesting. So one lady came to see me. We were talking about weddings earlier. So she came to see me. She was age 27. She'd never had acne in her life. She was getting married in about 6 months' time. And for the first time in her life, her skin had broken out. And she was in a panic. And she had always not really been too careful about what she ate. Yet, she was a stunning looking woman. She had like a great figure. So she was never overweight, never had bad skin before. So I often start with changing nutrition. So we made a few tweaks to her nutrition. And I also got her to do a stool test to see what her gut microbiome was like. there was a few little things going on. So we worked on those. A couple of months in and she's like, yeah, it's got a little bit better, but you know, I'm only 4 months out from my wedding. I need to sort this out. So I said, okay, let's run a toxicity test. Let's see if there's any toxins that are causing a problem. Because again, toxins can be related to acne. So one of the tests I got her to do was a blood test for heavy metals. And I was looking through the list. And, no, that's normal, 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 normal. Mercury off the scale.
Wow.
So she had blood mercury levels that were way off the scale. And, you know, when I presented her with the results, she said, well, how can that be? Like, how am I being exposed to mercury? And I said, well, the most common reason is actually people that eat a lot of fish, particularly bigger fish. And her face just froze. And she said, I've been eating tuna sandwiches or tuna salad for lunch every day for 10 years. So I said, okay, so maybe you need to swap out the tuna, or at least not have it every day. So anyway, I suggested she use the supplement called L-glutathione. So it was a liposomal L-glutathione, so it gets absorbed really well. And within a few weeks, her skin had completely cleared.
That's amazing. So in your book, I think you talk about these four main causes of acne. Mm-hmm. What are those?
Well, technically, they're not causes, and I'll explain why in a moment, but this is what the general kind of consensus is for the four main causes. And the first one being an excess of oil on the skin. The oil is called sebum, and it's secreted by the sebaceous glands, which live in the hair follicles, and their role is to moisturize and protect the skin and the skin barrier. So if there's too much oil being released, that can plug the hair follicle, and that can lead to blackheads, whiteheads, etc. Another one is an increase in the number of skin cells produced. So if there are skin cells, so as the skin cells, they come like through the layer of the skin, if you like, as they're coming up through the hair follicle, if there's more of them, again, they're more likely to plug the hair follicle. Now on the skin, like everywhere in our body, we have millions of microbes. So we have microbes that live on our skin and they're part of, you know, our immune system. They protect the body. They're there for a very good reason. And the downside to, if you're a microbe living on the skin, you don't have a food supply. Like if you're a microbe living in the gut,
mm-hmm.
Obviously our food goes in our gut. So they generally live off the sebum, so the oil in the sebum, and the proteins from the skin cells. So when there's a blockage due to excess sebum and excess skin cell generation, now it's party time for these microbes. They proliferate, but now they become an infection. The immune system comes in to try and deal with that. Now, when the immune system is activated, it creates inflammation, it creates redness, swelling, and pain. And that's exactly what you get with an acne lesion. So you've got excess sebum, excess skin, you've got the proliferation of the bacteria, Cutibacterium acnes, which is the one that's generally involved in acne, and then you've got the inflammation. So there you're at four, I would call them mechanisms rather than causes, because the question is, well, what's causing those to happen? And this is where it gets interesting. Again, I've got a whole chapter on the book on this, but with the sebum have hormone receptors on them. And when specific hormones increase, what happens is if they reach the sebaceous glands, they stimulate the release of more sebum. So it's generally suggested that androgens are the cause of the stimulation of the sebaceous glands. Androgens are the male hormones. So testosterone is one, there's mm-hmm. dehydrotestosterone, which is DHT. But there are lots of other hormones as well that have been shown to increase the activation of the sebaceous glands. So insulin is another one. So whenever we're eating sugary foods, the way that the body tries to balance our blood sugar is to release insulin. So you eat sugary foods, your insulin levels go up. That can potentially stimulate the sebaceous glands. So there's my first tip, is that sugary foods are one of the causes of acne. There's another hormone called insulin-like growth factor 1, and that's linked to insulin. Insulin-like growth factor 1, or IGF-1, is naturally in dairy products. So the whole purpose of dairy is to help baby mammals grow. So when we have dairy products, that also stimulates the sebaceous glands to secrete more sebum. So we've got sugary foods, we've got dairy. Now, the other thing that, from a dietary point of view, is that if we are eating anything toxic or anything that causes inflammation, so things like seed oils, vegetable oils, etc., cause inflammation in the body, they can increase the systemic inflammation in the body. So then rather than you might have a tiny blackhead or a tiny whitehead, might not even see it, if there's excessive inflammation in the body, that can turn into something bigger, like a nodule or a cyst. So making sure that you're not eating foods that you're sensitive to. So remember earlier I was talking about, I did a test for food sensitivities and I cut those foods out and that helped get rid of my acne. So anything that can cause inflammation in the diet, and dairy is another food that can cause inflammation for some people. And again, we're all slightly different. So food is a big issue, particularly high glycemic foods, dairy foods, and inflammatory foods. But also toxins can be an issue as well. So again, if there are toxins in the body, it's the immune system's job to try and mop them up and get them removed from the body. So again, any kind of toxin is going to increase systemic inflammation. But another issue with toxins is that if the liver becomes overworked, because the liver has multiple functions, but one of them is obviously to help detoxify toxins from the body and help get them removed, but they also remove used hormones from the body. So if the liver is trying to do too many things, another thing that can happen is that excess hormones can start circulating around the body because the liver isn't getting rid of them. And there are other hormones that have also been shown to increase sebum production. So if, and this is normally for females, but if a female has what's called estrogen dominance, so that could be high estrogen levels or low progesterone levels, that can also stimulate the sebaceous glands. But also the stress hormone cortisol, when it's very high, has also been shown to stimulate the sebaceous glands. So whenever we're stressed, that can also increase the likelihood of a breakout. And again, I mentioned earlier, if you've got a big event coming up, a wedding, job interview, you know, a hot day, whatever it might be, the fact that you're stressed, you might be secreting excess cortisol. And again, that can help to stimulate the sebaceous glands, secrete more sebum. So you see, it's very multifactorial acne. There are so many different reasons. And it really saddens me because I try and join in with acne social media groups and someone will say, well, I tried this, it didn't work. Oh, I tried this, it didn't work. I tried this, it didn't work. But you've got to look at it from a bigger picture. It's got to be a whole lifestyle change rather than one thing here and one thing there.
So you mentioned that everybody has sort of a different skin type. How do individuals determine which foods are right for their unique skin type?
Yeah, it's not so much skin type. It's what I would call metabolic type.
Okay.
So this is a process I take people through, you know, if they work with me as a client, but I also do it in the book as well. And to kind of explain it in very simple terms, someone that, for instance, if they came from a family where their ancestors were from a cold climate, they would have evolved eating predominantly animal-based foods and a little bit of plant-based foods. Conversely, if someone was from an environment where there wasn't much game meats around, but they were maybe in a jungle, let's say, their ancestors would have evolved eating predominantly plant-based foods and very little animal-based foods. So that's where our metabolic type comes from. It's more from our genetics. Our environment does impact it as well. But the process I take people on, first of all, I get them to do a questionnaire that gives them a starting point. And then from the starting point, I go through a journey where they're logging the foods that they eat and how they feel 1 to 2 hours after that meal. So whenever we eat, it affects our energy levels, our appetite, and our emotions. So if you can track those three things in quite a lot of detail, what you can start to do is to fine-tune your ratio of what we call your macronutrient ratios. So that's your fats, your proteins, and your carbohydrates. To make it more simple, you can say your animal-based foods versus your plant-based foods. And everyone has got their own sweet spot. So it's a process, it is to a degree, it's a process of trial and error. And a lot of people think, well, that's not very scientific. But actually, the body does change as well. If you think of working with women, women have a hormonal cycle, right? A menstrual cycle. So for females, it actually changes throughout the month as well. And any woman will tell you, when they're premenstrual, they will crave carbs. Right. So that's just one way in which you can kind of see how this is true. And what I would say is that when I go through that process with most people, whether it's to help them with acne or anything else, and even I've been doing this for 20 years, even now, I'm still blown away by the difference it makes to people's. You know, it made a huge difference to me when I started eating that way. And it's not, you know, yes, your skin gets better, but you get more energy. You can perform better. You go longer between meals. You don't need to snack. You lose your cravings. But the key thing with acne in terms of eating right, as well as avoiding the foods that you're sensitive to, when you eat right for your type, what it does, it helps to balance your blood sugar levels. So remember I was saying that insulin is one of the key factors that can stimulate the sebaceous glands. So when you eat right for your type, your blood sugar levels, they don't go up and down so much. They're a lot more balanced. So again, you're not stimulating or releasing as much insulin because you don't need to. So that again reduces the likelihood of acne.
One of the great things about having a podcast is you can ask questions that are personal to you. So I started doing cold showers about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I noticed my skin health was outstanding. So in the winter, you usually get the rosacea, the dry skin, and I maybe would break out a little bit more, not in the way that you're talking about being older, but just, you know, would break out. And I have not had any skin issues in almost the entire year that I've been doing that. So what is the cold water doing that hot water?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you having pure cold water or are you doing hot and then cold? Or
no, pure cold. It's
okay.
But in December to now, it's kind of rough to get in there in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, obviously what cold does to the skin, so it closes everything up. Okay. When you have hot, it opens everything up. So why that's having an effect on your skin, I couldn't be sure. Now, how long do you spend in the shower?
Minimum of 3 minutes. So
okay.
Yeah, which is...
Yeah, and it's and like really cold?
It's as cold as it can be. I can tell the seasonal changes, definitely just from the, the water coming into the house.
Yeah. So,
yes, it gets pretty cold in the winter for sure.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, if you're in long enough, what it does do, once your body gets to a certain temperature, it will shunt your blood away from the skin and into your internal organs. So it might be that you're getting more blood flow to your organs. That's why I was asking how long do you spend in there? Because if you're spending over 3 minutes, it's a possibility that you could actually just be shunting more blood to your internal organs, and that could potentially be helping. I don't know for sure, but that could potentially be what's happening.
It's not washing away the oils that are on my skin and therefore
maybe
me in the dry months be protected. When you look at some of the myths of skincare, I mean, I imagine you're fighting that all the time. What are some of the top myths that you deal with and have to debunk?
Well, again, in my book, there's a chapter called The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, where I discuss the common medical treatments that are advised. And I clearly explain what are their benefits, but also the side effects, because I'm not sure how many people really get told what the side effects are. And I saw a report last week, actually. It was stating that in the products that contain benzoyl peroxide, so remember I used a benzoyl peroxide product for 18 years that didn't work. It did stain my carpet, by the way. So if you drop it on fabrics, it actually takes the dye out of the fabrics.
It's the first sign there's an issue, right?
Yeah. So what this report was showing was that they've studied benzoyl peroxide, and due to oxidation or to heat, the benzoyl peroxide can break down into an ingredient called benzene. Now, benzene is a known carcinogen, and it's been linked to leukemia. So this is why it's really important that people understand the benefits, but also the side effects, because without knowing that, you could potentially be causing a lot more harm than good. Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather have acne than leukemia. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I mean, I didn't get leukemia, even though I used it for 18 years, but you're increasing the risk. Now, one of the things that I mentioned earlier as well was that people often think that acne is a skin condition. That's one of the biggest myths. Now, what I mean by that is that acne is an inside job. It's telling you that there's something wrong, something imbalanced, possibly something toxic going on the inside. The symptoms are appearing on the skin.
So right? I think what's striking to me is, as I'm listening to you today, is that if you were to talk to a physician, they would say the skin is an organ. And
which is
I think
true.
It's the only external measurement we have as individuals on our internal health, I guess is what I'm hearing here.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, as you go about working with people, what are some of the challenges that you have? Do you have situations where their general practitioner or any of the folks are contradicting your strategy, or for the most part, are they supportive? Or
most people that come to see me to help them with acne, they've already been down the doctor route. They've already been down the dermatologist route, and they got nowhere. So they're at that point where that hasn't worked for them. So they're not really interested in continuing to work with the doctor anymore. So I've never had that kind of conflict of me saying one thing and their medical doctor saying something else. The biggest challenge for me as a practitioner and for people that are trying to overcome acne, and I would say most health conditions, is sticking to the program. right? I can give people a program that's going to work, but if they don't do it, it's not going to work. So again, in my book, there's a whole chapter that's dedicated to mindset. Because if you're not in the right mindset to start a program, and I call it a program because it's not a quick fix, it's a whole lifestyle change, and change takes energy. So the important thing is that people are really in the right frame of mind before they begin. So the first thing is understanding that there aren't quick fixes. I mean, some people may have used the product and it worked, but I imagine they're in the minority. Understand that you've got to go on a journey of education and application, and also understand there's going to be difficulties whilst you're on that program. It's never a really smooth ride. There are always going to be things that get in the way, things that bump you off course. But that's why it's important to get the mind strong first, so that A, you're going to expect these bumps in the road, but also prepare for them. Now, I've been practicing for 28 years. I've heard so many different excuses as to why people couldn't do something. So one of the things that I get people to do, and it's in my book and it's in my coaching program, is to think of all the potential situations that could come up that would mean they wouldn't be able to continue following the program, even if it's just for a day or one meal or whatever it might be. So as an example, one of the excuses I've heard in the past, so again, if I'm looking at someone's diet sheet, for instance, and I'm looking at their lunch and their reactions are awful to their lunch, you know, it didn't fill them up. They were really hungry soon afterwards. It made them feel a bit depressed. And I'll say, okay, so what happened with that meal? And they'll say, oh, well, I wasn't in control of that meal. I say, oh, okay, that's interesting. So why weren't you in control? Well, we had a meeting at work and they gave us sandwiches and yeah, that just didn't work for me. I go, okay, that's interesting. So if you were in that situation again, what could you do differently? And obviously they start thinking and they say, well, yeah, I guess I could have taken my own food in. So, okay, yeah, that would have been one. Anything else? Well, maybe I could have just popped out and got something a bit more healthy than the sandwiches they were. And so the person's coming up with their own solutions. So if they're confronted with that situation, i.e., you know, they've got a lunchtime meeting and food's being supplied, rather than say, oh, well, I haven't got any control over this situation, they've already planned ahead. So, I know what to do now. So if they knew about the meeting the day before, they could have taken something with them. Or if it was just sprung on them, they might say, right, let me just quickly run out and get something a bit more healthy than what I know they're going to give me. So when you've got those things in place, it just makes the whole process run that much smoother. And also you don't get those, you know, if you do something where, you know, it wasn't right, you know, people feel bad about it. They quite often feel guilty. So it stops that negative cycle. Because again, people often, if they go off the wagon, they get into this negative spiral downwards and they think, oh, well, I might as well have a terrible dinner as well now. And then they wake up the next, oh, yeah, I've fallen off the wagon, you know?
Well, I also think our diet is very related to also culture and environment. So I think of two situations. So, you know, every January, I do dry January. And if you're out in a business situation and you're not having a drink, people make the assumption you're a former alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And I think of another story of, I was in medical device sales and marketing. So I was in an end-stage renal disease dialysis situation. And it was in the South. And there was this gentleman being lectured by a nephrologist for eating too many tomatoes. And he told the story that his wife made the most delicious tomato soup every year from their garden. And to not have that soup would be an insult to his wife. And the doctor said, you know, do you think for a moment that your wife would want you to be ill because of this? And it's just a conversation he wasn't ready to have. So I also think that a lot of these things are the house we grew up in, the food that we have, the connection of comfort, you know, mom made me this certain pie or something like that. It's extremely difficult, to your point, requires a bit of discipline. And it's about not feeling bad how other people feel about you. It's about taking control of that, which I think is part of it. So as you've gone through this journey, tell me about a time when you've had to adapt or shift your strategy quickly, because you sort of found your way through this, right? It wasn't a typical pathway that anyone would take.
In what respect?
How have you turned it into a business and that, you know, you can get your message out and you can support yourself financially?
What do you mean when you said change direction?
So I've done a few startups in my day, and you know, there's some point in time when you realize you love the product, you love where you're going, but for whatever, at this moment in time, with this US reimbursement system, it's not going to work, right? And so you pivot to an area that's less attractive, but it makes a viable business model.
Okay, yeah. So obviously, as I said back in was it 1996, I started off as a personal trainer. So I was going down that route for quite a few years. And then I studied with the Czech Institute. I mentioned earlier, I studied there for 5.5 years. And I actually started doing a lot of injury rehabilitation after my studies with the Czech Institute. And I was actually working predominantly in lumbar spine pathology. So I was helping people recover from lumbar spine injuries, particularly disc injuries. Now, interestingly, 11 years ago, I ruptured 2 discs in my lumbar spine, which was an experience to say the least. But what I've done in recent years is that I've focused on helping people that have the same issues that I've been through. Because not only have I studied them from a textbook and in lecture rooms, but I've lived it as well. And I think that gives me a certain level of authenticity because mm-hmm. I've been there and I've done it. But also the main thing is because I want to help those people. So I could continue, and I enjoy doing it. I could continue just helping people with lumbar spine pathology, and I would make a lot more money than helping people with acne, right? But I want to help people with acne. That's why I've come out with this book, you know, just a couple of months ago, and I'm really on a mission to help people with acne understand that, yes, they can get in control of their acne and they can reverse it. And by reversing it, not only are they reducing the likelihood of serious disease further down the line, but they can massively increase their quality of life by doing so.
It struck me in the story of the woman that had metals in her body that it's also the data that you're getting that corrects your skin also has all sorts of other health benefits associated with it.
Absolutely.
So where can people get your book?
So it's from all major outlets. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online retailers. If you've got a physical store you want to go to, they can order it for you. You can also, there's links via my website. So my website is eliminateadultacne.com.
And you, also, we should say your book is Eliminate Adult Acne for Good, I believe, is that?
Yeah, Eliminating Adult Acne for Good. Available from all good bookstores and some rubbish ones as well, apparently.
So if someone wanted to hire you, would they go to your website?
Yeah, go to my website. So there is a coaching program that I have. So they can watch, there's a little video on there. They can watch a bit more about how I work and they can schedule an acne breakthrough call with me, absolutely free. And, you know, we can chat about A, whether I think they're right for my program and they can decide whether my program's right for them.
Anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
I think the key message for me is that acne is an inside job. Clean up your body from the inside out and just be aware that if you don't treat it at the root cause level, the likelihood 10, 20, 30 years down the line, there's going to be something a lot more serious come along. So deal with the root cause now. You're going to save yourself a lot of trouble and you're also going to improve your quality of life.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing your journey with us.
My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into the Chalk Talk Gym podcast. For resources, show notes, and ways to get in touch, visit us at chalktalkgym.com.